If there is anything that I learned from the Survivor 49 premiere episode, it's that my read on these players was completely off. A lot of the alliances or potential alliances that I thought I clocked were way wrong, and a couple of the people that I thought were going to be beefing ended up being best friends and even a bromance. Now let's start things off at some potential winner hints at the beginning. Usually Survivor in the past likes to give either the big players some sort of a spotlight when it comes to the first few minutes of the premiere episode. And the opening narrator of this episode was Jawan. You know, I don't think that this Jawan big old monologue at the beginning is setting him up for a winner edit per se. I do think that it may be setting him up as a potential big character for down the line. While he had a pretty good first 30 minutes, the last 30 minutes or so, Jawan ended up kind of tanking his game, all because of how he reacted to not making a little fire. Probably not the winner. We also hear from Alex, Savannah, and Jake from the start, and that kind of makes sense because Alex, Savannah, and Jake, were all three of these people were huge during this episode. Alex and Jake especially, these were two people that I said during my player rankings, I said I could see Alex and Jake kind of being opposing forces on their tribe, trying to gather the numbers to take each other out. And they ended up being best friends. We got to see a lot of character moments from Jake, but I think as far as seeing things from a strategic light, we got to hear a little bit more from Alex. And Savannah, between the three of them, she's on the red tribe. I think she gave the most strategical insight. She was the one that wanted to talk the most game. She found her person that also wanted to talk the most game in Nate. So I don't think that's going to put a target on her back. I think she's going to also be a very major player in this season going forward. So keep an eye on Alex, Savannah, and Jake. And then finally, we also heard from Rizzo, and he got to show off how smart he is and accomplished by talking about how he graduated college and how accomplished he is in terms of his family. You know, I'm not sure how smart this man actually is, especially when it comes to jigsaw puzzles. But again, we'll talk about that a little bit later. And Nicole gave the first confessional once they hit the mats. Funny considering that she was the first boot. And as far as players talking to Jeff during the mat chat, you know, I'm not sure if this has been debunked as all winners have to do this in order to get a winner edit, but Christina, Jason, Jake, Steven, and Sage all talk to Jeff. And again, you know, Jake is kind of the one that fits this mold here. He had a big episode here and he talked to Jeff. Jake, in terms of the edit, is probably one of the front runners. But I think that Jake could probably just end up being one of the major characters for the show as opposed to the winner, because he just seems like a loyal, lovable guy. He has done some kind of funny things strategically and in the game already here in the first episode that kind of make me laugh and, you know, make me enjoy him as a character and as a player. I don't think he really does have a huge understanding of how to make, you know, big moves or big strategic plays. I do think that that's going to be Alex at the end of the day, and Jake could end up getting cut somewhere in there. My bare minimum of what I know about Jake, I just don't know if he has the strategic chops to potentially be a winner. But again, this is episode one, and I also have not had good reads on any of these players so far, so I could be completely off on Jake as well. Now let me dive into some of my problems that I had with this premiere episode. Everybody has the same problems with a new era premiere, and I share those same problems. I mean, a new era premiere, this was the same as any premiere from Survivor 41 to now. Everybody has a sob story. The mat chat was extremely long, and this one, for some reason, was heavily edited. I mean, had overlays of players from this season and past players that are going to be on 50, probably just for an advert for the next season. It was weird, and we as players don't really need this long hyped up chat. As you talk to the players, like, this is your moment, seize your moment. I'm not gonna get ready to run through a wall as Jeff screams this is their moment. It's not my moment. I don't care. I'm laying in bed right now next to my sleeping fiance, who's like, why are you staying up so late to watch and analyze reality TV? Makes no sense at all. Jeff, you know, we're not your target audience for that. Save that for just those people on the island, or at least make it it a little bit shorter. It makes you feel like you can skip through a lot of these things. All of these things with the marooning challenge, with things like Rizzo and Alex competing to get their tribe materials, it really kind of takes away from things that make Survivor so enjoyable, which is, you know, events like Tribal Council, which felt in this episode really short and really rushed. And I feel like we need to get more of that. We need to kind of just return to the root of what this show is. And that's about votes. And that's about just playing the game and getting down to brass tacks. I mean, this kind of stuff maybe was exciting during season 41 and maybe 42 when it was a new concept. But when you're doing it the same way every single season, it's boring. It's the same thing. Switch it up in any way possible. The gameplay, it's never changed and it's kept our interest, but you're throwing in all these new things in the premiere or even things like earning your chance at the merge, you know, things like that. And we hate them, but we do love all of your old stuff. We love all your hits, Survivor. We like it the old way, god dang it. But hopefully after this, things can really, really start to pick up and we can get to know these players. Let's dive into these tribes. Let's start things off with the blue tribe. And I'll tell you, this was the tribe that I had thought at the beginning was going to be the physically dominating tribe. And I was very shocked to see that they lost all three competitions. I mean, they got two probably of the biggest dudes in the whole game on their tribe. Sophie doesn't seem like she's a slouch at competitions by any means. Annie, for being an older lady, she's pretty all right at comps. Jeremiah, you know, they're all pretty all right, but they just could not find a way to win. And I guess that reason was the weakest link, Nicole, who is the first person voted out of Survivor 49. And again, you know, my reads are just terrible on these players, I guess, because I really thought that Nicole was somebody who had a chance to win the game based on the preseason interviews. And she really was a good confessionalist and seemed like she could have been a good narrator for the show too. When she was in the confessional, I had the feeling, I was like, she's going to be a star of the show. Like, she is going to be somebody that is going to be here for a long time. And she's going to tell us, you know, what's going on. She's going to break it down. And she was done so. I think what it came down to here is that she felt like she was safe and she didn't really do a whole lot of campaigning here. And it is tough because this is a situation where I think players like Sophie, for example, would have benefited if she stayed in the game. And Sophie had some dirt on somebody like Annie, who was pitching somebody like Alex, who earlier on in the episode came up to Annie and said, I want to work with you. And Sophie runs his back to Jake and Alex. Despite this, they still end up voting Nicole out. But if Nicole was in the loop of this at all, or if Nicole had an idea of this, because she was blindsided, I do think she could have piled on this and said that she's going to be with them and really tried to flip the vote here on Annie, but she was just aloof. She didn't know what was happening. She didn't know she had to play that hard. So we're going to start things off with some player rankings here, and we're going to do this by tribe. I think going forward after this, this may be two separate videos, or I might end up doing this how I'm doing it now and just review another reality TV show to do the two videos per week. But I'm not sure what show that's going to be. If there's any kind of TV shows out there that you would like me to cover, let me know in the comment section down below. But coming in at number five and not going up or down any spots with two confessionals, I don't think it's any surprise, is Annie. And you know, Annie, there's not really a lot to say here. Seems like she's kind of dead in the water, and it's really unfortunate for her because Alex was somebody who really did want to work with her, and I think Sophie probably would want to work with her as well. That's just not going to happen because she's already gone out and pitched Jeremiah's name when she felt like her back was against the wall. But you can't really blame her. If she was the decoy vote, you always are going to be afraid that it might be too little too late if you do it the next time you go to tribal, because again, knowing you're the decoy vote, you got to know that you are the next person to go. This probably was decent timing here, but now that that cat's already out of the bag, she's almost probably certain to be the next person to go home. Coming in at number four, going up one spot with eight confessionals, probably the star of the episode, I have Jake. I love Jake. I think Jake is supposed to be getting this fan favorite edit, and I'm falling for it. Jake, from the very beginning, said that he respected Alex after going to compete for his tribe, and I misread that dynamic right away, because as soon as he did that, that bonded Jake and Alex and gave them a bromance so hard that Jake just kept referring to it. I think Jake's kind of getting the Joe edit from last year, but it feels more genuine, and I misjudged him based on his interview, and I misjudged him off of his opening comments too, obviously talking about how he was a Chippendale back in the day and said that he can manipulate any woman that he wants. But then we got to know him a little bit more, and he's just simply not as bland as Joe. He has some fun quirks we haven't seen in a while, like when he hid Nicole's shoe, and he said he's going to keep doing it, and we've seen more of him hiding shoes in these scenes from the next episode portion of the show. I'm all for this guy. I think he's a chaotic presence, and I think he's going to be a big presence on the show for how much they showed him on our screen. So I'm not sure if this guy is a winner, but definitely keep your eyes on him. And coming in at number three, I have Jeremiah, who goes up three spots. I thought that this was a guy that was just, you know, happy to be there, but this guy has some strategic chops. I mean, he got really close with Sophie right away. He had a tight bond with Jake right away, who he said, you know, in real life, I don't think I would even be able to approach a guy like Jake. I think I would be a little bit intimidated. He is a chameleon out there. I mean, he's blending in, he's building relationships with everybody, and he managed to kind of be a fourth in the trio that Jake and Alex and Sophie formed. The unfortunate thing for him is I don't think that he knows necessarily that he is the fourth, because when he came up to Jake, he pitched that him and Alex and maybe Sophie work together. So he kind of feels like that he formed that alliance and that he built the four and it wasn't already an established three. So him not being aware of that information might end up harming him a little bit and harm his judgment in the game based on, you know, what his perception is on how close he is to, you know, those people and how much sway he actually has. I do think he may be a guaranteed merge guy as long as this tribe doesn't go to tribal that many more times. Coming in at number two, not going up or down any spots, with 11 confessionals, I have Alex. Obviously, Alex botched it trying to get his tribe's supplies, but it didn't really matter because everybody in this tribe wanted to work with him from the jump, and I think that that is really impressive. Obviously, right when he took this challenge on and he wanted to fight for this, for his tribe to get these things, he earned this respect of Jake right away. Jake and then Sophie got close, so that, you know, they bonded together with that trio. He got close with Annie pretty quick, but, you know, after Annie pitches his name, I don't think they're that close anymore. But the fact that he, you know, obviously came onto the tribe a little bit later and still was able to make these strong bonds pretty quickly speaks volumes about how good of a player Alex is going to be moving forward in this game. And coming in at number one, I still have Sophie on this tribe. She's going to be kind of the ultimate swing vote here. Will she want to go with Alex and Jake? Will she want to just pair off with Jeremiah? Maybe bring in Annie to get out one of these two, because it is obvious that those two are going to work together for the long haul. What does Sophie want to do? And it does seem like Sophie is a very good strategic player, and I do think that ultimately this is going to be your decision maker on this tribe. Whatever Sophie wants to do, Sophie is going to do, and that's going to be the direction that the tribe will be going. She is a great, great confessionalist as well. Saying that Jake was a flame mignon at a Michelin star restaurant of a meat shield was a great line. Her going to Jake and Alex to tell them about the Annie situation was very smart on her part, so Annie couldn't take it to them and flip it onto Sophie. Perhaps the most well-positioned in this tribe. She's at the bottom of Alex and Jake's relationship, but she has a strong duo with Jeremiah. And the fact that Annie was willing to talk to Sophie about this potential move that she would want to do, I think also speaks to her position and how much people are already trusting her within the tribe. Now let's talk about the Red Tribe, the tribe that was kind of in the middle. We didn't get to hear or see much of them, with the exception of Rizzo, who really, most of his screen time came during his competition against Alex, and he ended up winning after Alex just smoked him in the beginning, not only just building the puzzle, which he probably had, you know, close to like a 10-minute advantage on after building the puzzle, but he also just blew him out of the water physically too with grabbing the coconuts. I mean, it didn't look like he stopped to walk once, and Rizzo had stopped to walk several times, it looked like. Obviously, Alex couldn't find where the X was, and X marks the spot, and that opened the door for Rizzo to go ahead and cheat on the jigsaw puzzle. And even when he was cheating on this jigsaw puzzle, he could not figure out where any of these pieces went. But as time ticked and Alex continued to be in the wrong spot, eventually he got the swing of things and he opened his final coconut that he forgot to open, and he ended up getting things together and he wins the tribe supplies for his tribe. And dude, Rizzo is hilarious. Like, his crying sounds so fake that it's like comically fake. Like a person in a comedy movie trying to cry. That didn't seem real. I just wonder, like, did Alex just think that he didn't have to dig that far? Was he, like, in the right spot and just didn't think that he have to dig as far? You know, because I felt like Rizzo kept digging the same spot, and Alex obviously switched spots. But, you know, if he kept digging in that same spot just a little deeper, would he have won? You know, I don't know. But I left this feeling pretty high on Rizzo for the most part. Really, the two power players in this tribe were Shannon and Savannah, two players who are kind of opposites, but in this case, opposites attract. I mean, Savannah is a gamer. She games hard. Shannon is kind of all about the vibes and trying to keep the peace in the game, which is, you know, again, a weird dynamic, but I think it is going to work. And I also think Nate is in really good shape because his cool and calm demeanor really complements the duo that is Shannon and Savannah, who want to work with him. Nate seems very balanced and really calm with his decision making. Savannah has a great mind and really wants to start gaming right now. I do think that that's going to be a formidable trio. We thought that Jawan was actually going to be the third in this group, but I do think Nate took his spot after kind of freaking out that he couldn't make the fire. Really, Jawan had the hardest rise and fall in this episode. I mean, going from being the opening narrator, and he's the one saying, okay, who's going to be our fourth? And then we get to hear from Shannon and say, well, you know, I don't think I want to be in alliance with Jawan if that's how he reacts to not making fire. And, you know, it's like, wow, like Jawan was somebody who in the preseason I had very high hopes for. And I feel like the edit kind of made us feel like he was somebody that we should get behind. But it turns out that the more calm, collected pair or collected trio are the people that maybe we should watch out for. And Jawan may be somebody that could be in trouble going forward. So let's dive into the player rankings on this tribe. And coming in at number 6 and going down one spot with one confessional is Sage. Just haven't heard too much from Sage. Obviously, she talked during the match chat. She had some funny one-liners. She's a funny gal, but I just don't really know a whole lot about her strategically. And coming in at number 5, I have Jawan with 5 confessionals, and he goes down 4 spots. He was somebody who was one of my winner picks, but I think right now, just with how this trio and how Savannah feels, who I really think is going to be making a lot of the decisions on this tribe, I don't think that she bonds well with Jawan, and I don't think that she is somebody who trusts him. I also don't think Nate necessarily likes him. The fact that he had that over-the-top reaction to Nate working on Spider-Man 2, I don't think is something that he agreed with or something that he liked. I think that Nate prefers somebody more level-headed and cool to work with. Jawan just doesn't seem like he is going to be that. Unfortunately, somebody who has very high on could maybe be even a pre-jury boot. Coming in at number 4, going up 2 spots, I have Shannon. I don't know if I have seen enough from her strategically to put her in the top 3 for me, but I do think later on we could see a little bit more from her, especially maybe in some conversations one-on-one with Savannah. And coming in at number 3 with 12 confessionals, I have Rizzo. Rizzo is going to be a huge character, I think, right alongside Jake. I think him and Jake are going to be kind of the big characters of this season. Somebody like a Nate, like a Savannah, like a Sophie from the Blue Tribe is probably going to end up being the winner, but you'll have these two, you know, larger than life characters to kind of distract us from who the actual winner is. Don't think Rizzo will win or maybe won't get to the end because maybe he'll be too likable, but as of right now, I like his spot that he's in. He's well liked, and the fact that Nate wanted to work with him over Jawan is huge. So coming in at number 2 and going up 3 spots, I have Nate. Nate just has such a calm presence. It doesn't seem like this guy could get rattled at all. I think he was kind of made for this Survivor game, and as of right now, very well positioned. I mean, Savannah wants to work with him. He's not going to be her number 1, at least as of right now, but I could see those two doing a lot of damage. And coming in at number 1, going up 3 spots, I have Savannah. Savannah really did a bulk of the strategic talking from really anybody in this episode, and we really got to dive into what she was thinking in terms of that. I mean, Savannah could be our winner here. And now let's talk about the Yellow Tribe, which won both of the challenges, and I would have honestly never guessed that. I thought this would be the weak tribe. I thought this was going to be the tribe that got picked off one by one, but turns out that they ended up winning both challenges. I don't have a whole lot to say about the Yellow Tribe because they didn't really get a whole lot of camera time, and when they did, it was mostly focused on Steven's sob story or Steven being really paranoid. This part cracked me up with a whole montage of people saying that they love Steven and then him saying, oh, they all want me out. I think he is going to be an absolute mess. And right when I saw Matt appeared to be his closest guy, I knew Steven wasn't going to be for real here. But the thing is those two really dominated the screen time for the Yellow Tribe. There's really not much to go off of, but I don't think either one of those two are in it for the long haul. And it's funny because those are really the only two that talked about anything game related. So these player rankings are a little skewed, and I don't really have a whole lot to say about anybody in this Yellow Tribe. But at six, I have Matt. I do think that he has integrated himself all right for being the older person in the tribe, and he may have competed pretty well in these challenges, but I don't think he's making enough one-on-one connections so far. I think he has only bonded with Steven, and I just don't think that's going to be enough to keep him long-term. And coming in at number five, going down one spot with five confessionals, I do have Steven. Even though people right now are saying that they love him, I do think that paranoia that he showed in the confessional will come out sooner rather than later, and he is going to make himself a target. And I do think that this is going to be one of the more fun downfalls to watch, because watching him stress out in the confessional was honestly hilarious. So, and his read of people wanting to backstab him and get him out was honestly wrong. So that's pretty funny. As for the rest of these players, again, not a whole lot to say. I mean, coming in at number four, going down three spots, which is one confessional, I have MC. I mean, MC to me felt like a really solid player and somebody who I had high hopes for, but we only got one confessional from her. So maybe going forward, we'll hear a little bit more so I can have a little bit more to say about MC. She won one of the challenges for him. She got to ring the bell. She was like one of the only people that told Steven, like, I wasn't sure about you at first, but now I know I like you. Really, she's only at number four instead of a little bit higher because we haven't heard anything from her. At number three, I have Christina. I feel like we got a lot of human moments from Christina, obviously hearing about her and how she hasn't gone camping, her fear of birds and things like that. Really got to know Christina as a person, and I don't think she's going to be somebody, even if she does struggle at competitions, I don't think she's going to be somebody that they are going to want to take out of the game just based off of a likability factor. And at number two, going up three spots, the male alternate of the season, they really made that a huge storyline for him, I have Jason. I think everybody's getting along with Jason. If he can show me that he really understands the strategic side of the game, could be somebody who will run this tribe. But as of right now, he just seems kind of like the vibe guy. Seems like he's just a happy to be there. And coming in at number one, going up one spot with two confessionals, I have Sophie. She did give a confessional talking about how we're winning challenges, and as of right now, there's no reason to go out and say, who are we going to target? Who are we going to go after? Because right now, we are sitting pretty. We are in a winning position. That is good. And it actually kind of led into Steven going around and asking people like, oh, what do you think? What should we do? Kind of gave Steven more of a negative edit. And I think that might be a little foreshadowing to keep an eye on, that Sophie might be in a good position and Steven may be in a bad position moving forward. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was my episode number one premiere night recap for Survivor 49 and player rankings. What'd you guys think? Should I split these into two different videos moving forward? Should I just recap a different show? Let me know in the comment section down below. Also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Click the bell icon to get notified every single time I drop a new video. Thank you guys so much for watching. As always, hope you have a great rest of your day.